Heat Media Day is just a few days away, so we'll be answering key questions to kick off the season in our second of three episodes, talking about Nikola Jovic and Omer Yurtseven, and if the team moves on from small ball, and how the coaching drama in Boston will impact Miami. It's five burning questions, training camp edition on today's Locked On Heat.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Heat Nation. It's a Thursday edition of Locked On Heat, your daily podcast covering all things Miami Heat. However you may be listening or watching on YouTube, Odyssey, or in your favorite podcast app, thanks so much for making us your first listen every day. I'm David Ermil, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Wes Goldberg. Heat training camp just a few days away. We'll be ramping up our coverage, asking the big questions you need answers to, so make sure to subscribe to the show to ensure you get everything you need every day. We're going to be doing our second of three episodes with five burning questions. We've got 5 minutes to answer each of the questions on today's show, and we'll start off with this one. What are the biggest storylines heading into training camp and, as an offshoot, some drama in Boston that might potentially impact Miami's start to the season? So we'll start off with the biggest storylines heading into training camp, period. What do you think they are, Wes?
5 minutes on the clock. First one is Tyler Hero and that extension. We've talked about it ad nauseum at this point, David. I don't know how much more we have to go into it. Just the general idea is, as long as Tyler Hero has not signed that extension and he has until the start of the regular season to sign it, that's the deadline for the Heat and Tyler Hero to get something done. Is until it's done, it's going to be a question, right? And if it doesn't get done, by the way, until the when the regular season begins, then it's going to be a question the entire regular season. But in terms of training camp, as long as that extension has not been signed, it's going to be a question. Tyler's going to be asked about it. Spo's going to be asked about it. A bunch of people will be asked about it. And then I think the other big one, what's the starting lineup? Because we still don't really know. We know three positions are penned in, right? You put in a Sharpie, Kyle Lowry, Bam Adebayo, Jimmy Butler. And then I think it's between four players for the other two spots. It's Max Strus, who started shooting guard last year. Tyler Hero, who has an argument to start this next season. Caleb Martin and Victor Oladipo. I think it's going to be two of those four players are going to end up in that starting lineup. And I think in training camp, that's going to be a big time for the Heat and for Eric Spoelstra to decide, you know, what that starting five is going
to
be.
Yeah, I have to agree there. I think a lot of people are going to be curious about any decisions. We're going to be nitpicking any comments being made. We're going to try to read into everything and see if we can discern exactly where they're leaning as far as the coaching staff regarding any kind of lineup decisions and things of that sort. And we'll also be trying to parse through any comments. But I am also expecting a major storyline to be just Victor Oladipo, just the return, because we're going to hear it again, probably repeated several times by Eric Spoelstra and the rest of his teammates, how good Victor looks. This is his first training camp, et cetera. How does he fit in? How does he adjust and make those two-a-days? How does he continue to thrive and show off how close he might be to returning to the form that made him an all-star a couple of years ago? So we're going to be hearing a lot about Oladipo, how he responds to those first couple of practices, and whether or not he stands out as maybe a clear favorite over Tyler Hero. So that's going to be interesting to watch. I'm also curious to hear a lot about Jimmy's hair. Like, we're going to be hearing a lot about Jimmy's hair.
Either way, right? If he keeps it, way more questions, probably. Is that going to be your hair in the preseason? Will that be your hair during the regular season? But if he gets rid of the hair, hey, Jimmy, why'd you get rid of the hair? We kind of liked it. Did you ever consider maybe bringing that into the regular season? Good call on the hair. One other thing, too, and do I have to ask Eric Spoelstra again about Bam Adebayo's three-point shooting?
Definitely
not. Should I just make that a thing I ask every training camp so that every I can get scolded at?
Yeah, and then during the first few weeks of training camp as well, just make sure. During media day, just what's the plan for Bam's three-point shooting away?
Well, we saw Bam, obviously, on Instagram and social media taking three-pointers. Have you seen that in training camp? Has that been a point of emphasis for you and the coaching staff? And then he'll just yell at me again, which would be great.
Is the Miami Pro-Am a standard bearer for how Miami will be playing basketball this year?
I do wonder if they'll be asked in training camp about some of the trades that got down. Miami media doesn't really it seems like they try to avoid that. Avoid is a strong word, but they don't really kind of get into
ruffle any feathers.
Kind of
so they want to avoid ruffling feathers.
Right. Okay. And so I do wonder if the Durant pursuit, if the Donovan Mitchell pursuit will be brought up at all. I imagine maybe briefly, but
I'm looking at Ira Winterman 100%. That's going to be question number one, I think.
Now's probably a good time to bring up the Ime Udoka stuff. We're recording this 11:45 a.m. on Thursday. And so we're just sort of getting more details now about the Udoka situation. According to Wojnarowski, sounds like he might be suspended for the full season. Have yet to get an official announcement from the Celtics. But if Woj is saying it, that's our timer on this, but we should keep talking about this.
This is a bonus question. This doesn't count.
Bonus, we bonus have 10 time.
Minutes on the clock.
Overtime here, baby. The Udoka thing, I think, is it's a huge story, man. Like, I've got Locked on NBA later today, and it's going to lead the show.
For sure.
Like, this is an enormous thing. Udoka finished fourth place in Coach of the Year last year. He did a terrific job with that Celtics team that turned things around in January. He was phenomenal. He was a phenomenal coach for them. And now you just add this Udoka thing to some of the other things that are already happening in Boston. Injuries, there are already some distractions. Depending on what you think about Jaylen Brown, like, does he get upset about being included in the Durant rumors? That free agency story is sort of looming with him. And then you just look, like, Robert Williams III just got a knee procedure done. Now reports are that he'll be ready by early season, but this is a guy who has a long injury history on that knee, and he's already getting surgery done on it. Maybe it's preventative, but still, it's a story. Gallinari, who they just acquired in the offseason, ACL tear, might be ready for the playoffs, might not. We'll see. Malcolm Brogdon, who was sort of their big addition, these are the last three seasons, 36 games, 56 games, and 54 games. He can't stay healthy. So with this Udoka thing and all the injuries, I just wonder if this is the kind of thing, I don't mean to overstate it, David, but I do wonder if this is the sort of thing that can kind of derail a season before it even begins.
Or define it in some way. Like, we'll see what Boston is made of, how if they're having their mettle tested this early in the season by injuries, by the coaching drama and everything else, how they respond to that. It will be a strong indicator of how committed they are to a title pursuit. A few years ago, there were a lot of those young players, Tatum, Brown, et cetera, looking for playing time. Kyrie Irving, as the ostensible veteran on that roster, kind of changed things, the dynamic of that team considerably, and they didn't achieve their goals of a title, even though they were strong title contenders that season. And since then, they've kind of been slowly building back and finding their identity. Brad Stevens steps away. So that's another thing, too. Like, we forget that Brad Stevens was their coach until midway through the offseason last year, and then Udoka took over as a person with zero head coaching experience. Right. And yes, although he struggled early on, or at least the team struggled early on to find who they were, eventually they settled down, figured out their role. So you wonder whether or not there's going to be some turnover, some change maybe at some point in the roster. I mean, who knows with a new coaching staff and where that goes. But I don't know that necessarily.
Well, it doesn't sound like Udoka's job is in jeopardy, according to the reporting, right? It's just that
which is also bizarre in and of itself. Like, suspending, I've never heard of a coach being suspended for a full season. And I know that it's mostly a personal matter, even though it's apparently an issue in the workplace as well. But it doesn't sound like he's getting fired, which, again, very, very strange. If you're willing to suspend him for the season, I don't see why you wouldn't fire him.
I don't, because he's a great coach. I mean, I hate to just bring it, put it down to that, but it's, look, we don't still know the nature of, it's being reported as a consensual relationship with a female staffer who obviously Udoka works with relatively closely in some capacity. We don't really know what part of the organization she's in, but enough where they would have enough contact to strike something up. But look, we'll find out more. I'm going to trust the reporting on this around it, is that he might be suspended for the season. You might have an assistant step up. Whatever. We'll see. In terms of Miami, like, if this is something that could derail Boston's season, like, they were the favorites, them or Milwaukee, based on most based on most people to come out of the Eastern Conference. If this derails the Celtics in their season, again, don't mean to overstate it, but it's a thing that's happening right now, then does that clears a little bit more of that pathway that was already pretty tough for the Miami Heat to get back to the Eastern Conference Finals or maybe even the NBA Finals. So this does have an impact on the entire Eastern Conference because we're talking about one of the title favorites in the NBA.
Absolutely. It just shows how fluid everything is over the course of an NBA season. An injury, in-house drama, something could always derail a team's path to the NBA Finals. And Miami, by virtue of just being one of the most, if not the most stable organization in the NBA, continues to find a way to thrive and just weather every storm. Luckily, no drama of this nature ever impacting Miami, with the exception, of course, of Stanley.
Wow, Cubs. Way to jinx it, David. Jesus.
Wow. All right, so.
You're off the top rope with the jinx. This will never
Look, they're a couple, you know, listen. In 2019, they suspended Deion Waiters. They suspended James Johnson. as a co-captain of the team, and they still wound up making the NBA Finals through the Orlando bubble and in the midst of a pandemic and incredible social upheaval in this country and across the planet. I think
Jimmy Butler just almost got into a fight with the head coach last season. Like, I understand that you're saying, like, this kind of stuff doesn't tend to derail the Heat organization, and I do agree with you, but this is not a team that is stranger to drama whatsoever.
I guess you're right. I guess they just handle it better than most teams, which is enough. I mean, that's all it takes. I mean, you're going to have, in any workplace, you're going to have some issues crop up because you're highly competitive, because there is just the nature of the business as it is. And then you just try to handle it as best as possible. Miami does a very good job. But you know who also does a very good job? BetOnline.net, your number one source for all football betting this season. You can find all the latest player developments, team matchups, news, podcasts, and in-depth articles and analysis on every game. The fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite games and events, including Major League Baseball. I hear that, what's his name? Aaron Judge, is that the guy?
On a Barry Bonds-like pace. Can I give people some betting advice here? Not that that's the show here. You can go listen to Locked On Bets for that. But
yeah,
I did this on the Locked On NBA show a couple weeks ago, looking at the win total over-unders. And Zach Lowe just did a whole thing on the Sacramento Kings on his show. But yeah. I love the Sacramento Kings. Their win total at 32 games, I believe, or 32
bet the
and a
over.
Half. Give me the over. Over on that, dude. I'm not saying the Sacramento Kings are going to the playoffs or anything like that.
Yes, you 32 are.
And a half
you
games. Are. Sure. You know, I actually did make that prediction already on the NBA show. That'll come back to bite me. But 32 and a half, I like the Kings on the over on that.
There you go. Head to betonline.net or use your mobile device to learn more. Bet online, where the game starts. Thanks very much for making Locked On Heat your first listen every day. Just a reminder to always make sure to subscribe to the show so you can get all the great coverage that we're going to be providing over the next couple of weeks. We're going to be at Media Day. Extremely excited. We've got a lot of great things that we're working on here. Some great questions. We're going to talk to every player, hopefully some coaches as well. And we're looking forward to giving you the best coverage possible. So make sure to subscribe to the show on YouTube and wherever you get podcasts. But we're continuing our five burning questions, and we'll move on to this one. Again, as I mentioned before, a huge storyline going into training camp. Is Victor Oladipo ready to return to form? We've talked about him here and there throughout the offseason. We have high expectations for him. He could emerge as a starting option for the Miami Heat, but there are concerns about his health, and there always will be throughout all of Victor's career. He'd have to string together three very, very good and healthy seasons in order for most of those concerns to go away. But what do you think? Do you think Oladipo returns to camp? I know you talked to his trainer, and he says he's looking better than ever. He looks healthy. What are your thoughts on Victor and the start of training camp?
I think we're getting ready for the best season that Victor Oladipo has had basically since these injuries started happening 4 years ago at this point, David, which I mean, that sounds like a big statement, but if you look at the last four seasons, it's really not. It's kind of a low bar. But look, what we saw in the playoffs last year was a player who was starting to figure out his role on the Miami Heat. And that was something that he was struggling to find in the regular season. Comes back. He's part of the rotation. Jimmy Butler, big fight with Spoelstra on the sideline. Little losing streak. They take Oladipo out of the rotation. Heat make a push to make the number one seed in the playoffs. And then Oladipo, because of injuries, finds a role during the playoffs. But these are his game stats in the playoffs. 15 games. He had averaged 10.6 points per game on 36.8% shooting, 27% from three-point range, 3.4 rebounds, 2.1 assists, 1.3 steals in about 24 minutes a game. Not great numbers. They're not great numbers, but we also saw some good on-ball defense, specifically on Jaylen Brown in the conference finals. But we saw flashes, and that to me was the most important thing with Oladipo. When you gave him the ball, he was able to do something with it, and he ended up being a really important, impactful player for Miami. And so if he can carry that performance over, and then because he's going to be part of training camp, because he'll be more comfortable in his role, can he, you know, uptick the efficiency a little bit more, then all of a sudden you have a really good role player on this team. I don't think we'll ever get all NBA Victor Oladipo back. I think that's too much to ask of him. He was 25 when he made the all NBA team. He's 30 now and coming off of a lot of injuries, and that opportunity is not going to be there. He was the man in Indiana. They gave him the ball whenever he wanted. You have Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, Tyler Hero, Kyle Lowry on this team. He's not going to have the same amount of opportunity, but he could be a star in that role. And that's exactly what the Miami Heat need from him. And that's what I think we're going to see this coming season.
Yeah, I have to agree. I know that they were pursuing other players, but I think maybe you could make an argument that they were a little, if not lukewarm or tepid on their pursuit of Donovan Mitchell. Maybe not all in 100%. If so, maybe it's because they feel, you know what, they've got a pretty good option at two guard already. A couple of good options at two guard in Oladipo and Tyler Hero. No need to give up a lot of draft capital or overturn the roster considerably when you already have those two players there. Either way, either you're starting Hero or Oladipo, you're going to get some quality play out of the guard position. Two shot creators, two guys who can space the floor. I'm going out on a limb here, and I'm going to say that Oladipo plays 70 games this year. I know that's a lot, but I think if he's healthy, there's no reason why he wouldn't be able to play that many games. I think he's going to avoid whatever leg injuries have befallen him in the past. That's always a good thing. And I'm also predicting about 15 to 16 points per game on 45, 36, 75 split there. So I think he's going to be able to get to the line more frequently than Tyler. I think he's going to be shooting okay, a little bit improved from three-point range. And I think he's going to continue to be a productive scorer either on the bench or in the starting lineup. So we'll see what happens with Oladipo. But I do expect
last time he played, I like that 70-game mark. The last time he played in at least 70 games was when he made the All-NBA team, 75 games in 2017, 2018. Before that, he basically was right there, 67 games the year before that, 72, 72, and then 80 as a rookie. So before all the injuries, obviously, he was not just healthy, but he was extremely durable and extremely available. And so, look, if... you are going out on a limb. It's really hard to, like, the last few years, it's been 36 games, 19 games, 33 games, and then 20 games, and then 8 games in the regular season last season. So 70 would be a huge uptick. But then again, like, if this dude is healthy, right, and if that knee is right the way that we are led to believe that it is, like, no reason to think that he couldn't play 70 games. So that would be great.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I won't be disappointed if he doesn't make those marks. I will only be disappointed for Victor's case. Like, we're talking about a player who was in his prime, who had so many good things happen to him. We've never heard of any kind of off the court issues with him or anything like that. He's just been a good person and a great NBA player, and he deserves the opportunity to continue to show that. But we'll move on to our next question. Look, the trade today also, as we're recording this, we just found out earlier this morning that Kelly Olynyk, former Heat superstar, is on his way to the Utah Jazz in exchange for Bojan Bogdanovic there. So a name that we had talked about at some point as a potential roster option for Miami at the power forward position. You are obviously a bigger fan of his than I am. And at the same time, now he's no longer available. Now he's part of the Detroit rebuild to some degree. They're looking to add some veteran leadership that I guess Kelly did not provide, or maybe didn't provide.
Well, I think most of it was just that it was a positional thing. They just drafted Jalen Duren. They've signed Nerlens Noel. Kelly Olynyk was a five for them. And then you add Bogdanovic who can play both forward spots. And so I think he just spaces the floor for Cade and Duren and some of those other young guys that they have.
So he's in Utah now. Walker Kessler, right? That's the guy that you like so much.
It's either Walker Kessler or Kessler Walker and Kelly Olynyk. So, yeah.
Yeah, so now they're together in Utah. So we'll see how that happens. I'm hoping somehow that Utah will buy out Olynyk and he'll find his way back to Miami. That would be fantastic. I know that's not likely to happen.
It would be a nice fit. That would the Heat go over the luxury tax to bring in Kelly Olynyk? That is a question, but he's an obvious fit, I think, at that power forward spot, five spot, whatever, as a pairing with Bam Adebayo in the front court.
But to your point about Nikola Jovic. Yeah, will he surprise us?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on your expectations. If you think that Jovic, just because he was drafted in the first round, is going to come in and compete for the starting job, then he's not going to surprise you. He's probably going to disappoint you. But if you think that Jovic is going to be spending most of the season in the G League, then I do think he's going to surprise you, because I don't know how much time he'll spend in the G League. Some, for sure. He's a rookie. That's what happens. But I think he'll play in 40 to 50 games, and I think in those games he'll play 10-ish minutes, 10 to 12 minutes. And I think by the end of the year, that'll probably be what his averages are now. I think that there's a long way to go for him defensively. I think even offensively, he seemed a little lost at times in summer league. I think there's a steep learning curve coming up for Nikola Jovic. I really do. But I really like his long-term upside, and especially as a long-term fit with Bam Adebayo. This is a long-term project, and the Heat knew that when they drafted him. Regardless of what the plan was at power forward, this was always going to be a long-term project. I think they're going to approach it in that way.
Absolutely. European players, unless they're Luka Doncic, who is just a freak of nature, really, often have a hard time adjusting to the NBA level. Not in terms of just the athleticism or speed or anything like that, although those are certainly factors, but just the cultural differences, the language problems, those always crop up. I remember talking to Goran Dragic about how uncomfortable he felt talking English earlier in his career, and that just finding his voice in the locker room, and it took a long time here in Miami just for him to be able to feel a certain comfort level with talking to other guys and telling him what to do. I don't think that'll be an issue with Jovic because I think his English, first and foremost, is significantly better than
Goran's. I remember talking to him at the introductory press conference. This was his first time in Florida.
Right.
You know, so I think it was first time in the United States was the NBA draft or the lead up to the draft.
There will be absolute issues off the court for him as far as adjustments and things like that. I don't know his situation in terms of whether or not he has family here or any kind of close circle of friends to help provide some kind of support that's essential for every NBA player, whether they're European, American born or elsewhere. Having said that, the on the court transition is going to be a difficult one for him because, again, there's the lack of strength. The speed, I think, is going to be different, a little bit more dynamic than he might be used to. The style of play is different. Yeah. All those things are factors. And while he will show flashes when his limited playing time, I wouldn't read too much into those. And to your point, I think, yes, they are viewing him as a long-term project.
He won't have a regular rotation role. He will make plays that surprise us and make us get really excited for his long-term upside. And I think that much we will see at some point. I don't know when.
So you said he is a rotation player or not?
No, he will not be a rotation player. He'll just get minutes here and there somewhere, you know, throughout the course of an 82-game season.
Was that the buzzer there?
That was the buzz. That was the timer.
All right. Well, we have time for one more question this segment before we wrap up our show. Wes, is Omer Yurtseven ready to be Bam Adebayo's backup at center?
No. That's why you re-signed Dwayne Dedmon. But I do think that Omer Yurtseven could be Bam's backup by the end of the season. I just think that there's a little bit more development that has to go on with him.
Well, you also think that Dedmon's contract is looking to be traded midway through the season too. So
correct.
I think that's all.
I think it's all connected. Yeah, I think I think that he re-signed Dedmon in part in order to create a chunky contract with his bird rights in order to trade him at some point this season, but also because it just buys Yurtseven a little bit more time. Just listen to Pat Riley talk about Yurtseven at the end of last season. I don't care if you're a Heat fan that thinks that Omer Yurtseven should be starting. Pat Riley doesn't, and I'm going to bet Pat Riley knows more than you do about basketball. And so just the way he was talking about Omer. Loves his upside, loves the potential there, also admits that he's not ready and that there's work to do. He's got to, you know, tune up the defensive stuff. He's got to get bigger, stronger, leaner. And Omer Yurtseven is working on all of these things. He said as much. But just because you're not the backup to start the season doesn't mean you won't be the backup at the end of the season. And having Dedmon there buys him a little bit more time. I think Yurtseven will be the primary backup by the end of the year, but I don't think he will be by the end of training camp or by the start of the season.
Yeah, I have to agree there. There's still somehow in 2022, 14 years after he took over as head coach, there are still people questioning Eric Spoelstra's value as a head coach and whether or not he knows how to use big men appropriately, whether or not he's stifling Omer Yurtseven's development and things of that sort. We still get comments and feedback like that all the time. And I'm not quite sure what the thought process is behind it. I think the game has changed, something that we'll talk about in our next segment. I know that Miami has been very successful using small ball throughout most of Spo's tenure and, you know, pace and space and things of that sort. But I think that's also the evolution of the NBA, and I think Spo's just leaning into it. I don't think he's necessarily bad at the center position or bad at using players at center or anything like that. I think Yurtseven had some nice flashes again when he wasn't even on the scouting report and nobody knew what to expect from him. He does have touch. He does have size. He could put up big numbers, but there's still holes in his game and he can't be exploited. And we saw even when he was healthy and available, Eric Spoelstra just chose not to give him those kind of minutes because there are still problems with him on defense, in particular size, strength, speed, adjustments, all those kinds of things. Those are factors, and we have to take that into consideration, just as the Heat coaching staff has. But anyway, we'll move on because Yurtseven, if he does wind up getting playing time, might wind up starting alongside Bam Adebayo. At least that's what a lot of Heat fans think should happen. We'll talk about whether Miami chooses to go big or keeps playing small ball in our next segment here on Locked On Heat. Thanks for making Locked On Heat your first listen every day. Just a reminder, you can always reach us via email at lockedonheat@gmail.com or via Twitter using the hashtag AskAllTheHeat. Be sure to please subscribe to the show and leave a review. Again, Media Day coming up. You want to be part of that coverage. Second to none, I am confident in saying so. But I'm not confident, however, in whether or not the Miami Heat will go small or big to start the season. And I think that's a question mark. With the hole at the power forward position and the possibility of maybe Jimmy playing extensive minutes there, does Eric Spoelstra change things up and does go to Yurtseven or Dwayne Dedmon in the starting lineup alongside Bam Adebayo? Or does he continue to go small? Wes, let's hear your thoughts on the subject.
He's not going to go big to start games. We know where Eric Spoelstra's comfort level is at this point. He wants to start a forward who could space the floor next to Bam Adebayo. And as much as you might think somebody like Dwayne Dedmon or Omer Yurtseven, or even in the past, Kelly Olynyk and Myers Leonard and these guys could space the floor, they can't space, even if they're good three-point shooters as centers, they are not as good three-point shooters as perimeter players or even other power forwards. And I think Spo's preference is to space the floor as much as he possibly can. And even if that means being small to start games, I think he's more comfortable with that. But I do think we're going to see him go big way more than we did last year. I think we will. Because Eric Spoelstra, with Bam Adebayo, played Bam 32 minutes last season with Dwayne Dedmon and Omer Yurtseven. Not a lot. 32 minutes is not a lot. He didn't like that partnership of Dedmon and Yurt for whatever reason. But I also think a part of it was that he had PJ Tucker there, who could do all the things defensively, if not better than Dedmon, certainly better than Yurtseven defensively. He was a good rebounder for his position and his size, PJ Tucker was. And Miami's defense was elite when PJ Tucker and Bam Adebayo were on the court together. So there's no reason to go big. There's no reason to go big. And PJ Tucker, an elite corner three-point shooter, a much better three-point shooter than Dedmon or Yurtseven. So it just made way more sense to go with PJ. That's why he was so valuable to this team and why it's going to hurt them so much that he's no longer on the team. That said, I think we can go 2 years back to get a real reference point for how Eric Spoelstra will approach this roster, back when it was after Jay Crowder had left for Phoenix and they were left with Mo Harkless and Trevor Ariza and all these other not great options at power forward. It kind of feels like it's going to be that again. And that season, David, Bam played almost 700 total minutes with another center on the floor, whether it was Kelly Olynyk, Precious Achiuwa for a few minutes here and there, Myers Leonard, Nemanja Bjelica at the end of the season. He played almost 700 total minutes with another, you know, more traditional style big man on the court. I think we're going to see something more similar to that. Not because Spo loves the idea of pairing Bam and with Dwayne Dedmon or Omer Yurtseven, but just because he has to.
Right.
I don't know what the other option is. We're already starting games small with Caleb Martin probably at the four, or even Jimmy Butler at the four. Regardless of who ends up starting there, you're starting games really, really small. I think there's going to be pockets in the game that Spoelstra tries to flip it and go big. And I think that that's what they're going to do.
Yeah, I see that not as a starting option, but also as the, right. not even a finishing option, just something they can throw out there. We've seen Spo junk things up with the zone defense on occasion. We know how he likes to tweak lineups. It's what makes him one of the best coaches, if not the best coach in the NBA. So changing things up, certainly a possibility. And yes, by virtue of what you have available to you on the roster, you've got no choice, really. You've got to be able to throw those players out there. You can't just continue to put Bam out there for 40-plus minutes because that's not going to work. You're not going to keep him healthy for all the season. You've got bigger things that you're trying to achieve over the course of the season, so why not change things up? My other thought process is, look, when the rest of the league zigs, Spo always zags. I can't see why he wouldn't try to go even smaller at some points. And look, we're going to see it on probably going to see it from the starting lineup. If Caleb starts or Jimmy starts, that's already a small lineup. But we also could see a change in style in general in terms of fast offense, you know, just igniting that offense, having a better version of Kyle Lowry on the floor to ignite the offense. I know we've talked about pace before. He doesn't necessarily speed the pace up dramatically, with the exception of those look-ahead passes and things of that sort. He does try to get the fast break going. Lean into that. Be a quick offense that just puts up shot after shot after shot. Just 45 threes a game. Just try to score 120 points per game.
We have that as one of the questions for our next episode in part three of this five running questions.
That might be a teaser there. We'll see what happens in the next episode. Only one way to find out. That's by watching or listening to tomorrow's episode. So make sure to subscribe to the show on YouTube or wherever you get podcasts to get that listen, that first listen every day. Thanks so much for listening to this show and making Locked On Heat your first listen. Make sure to also make Locked On NBA your second listen every day. The NBA Top 50 Most Valuable Players, according to Bet Online, is available now. Go check out the first few episodes of that show. It's been fantastic to hear from all the different experts around the league why the players that they cover should or should not be at those particular ranks. I'm sure you'll be happy to hear my thoughts on Bam Adebayo. I think they reflect a lot of what Heat fans think. And I think there's a certain Jimmy Butler coming up in the top 10 that you'll want to hear about as well. So make sure to find that wherever you get podcasts. This is David Ramil signing off for now. Thanks so much for joining me, Wes.
Wrap it up, B.